The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. It is Victory Friday. I am Mark Cook, along with Mr. Matthew underscore Matera.
Hey, blessed to be here.
Blessed to be here. And we have Grizz.
Always glad to be here.
And my boss, Scott Reynolds. How are you, Scott?
No, it's not Scott Reynolds.
No?
No, not Scott Reynolds.
Everybody ever tell you guys look a lot alike?
No one has said that. Never? We certainly don't sound alike either.
Kind of. You're in a lot better shape than Scott is.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You like
that.
Actually go to the gym and stuff.
Do you want to actually tell the folks who I am?
No.
Okay.
It's right. A mystery. We'll
I'll
see.
Be Scott Reynolds then.
We'll see if they can figure it out. That is our good friend Lynn Martez from 95.3 WDAE, also 620 AM. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes, Lynn. Since we're always on your Saturday show, I figured I would drag you in here for paybacks.
Whenever you want me here, sir, I'm here for you.
This is probably the only time.
Nah, I figured that.
More than likely the only
that.
Time. We probably won't be on your show anymore.
That's good.
It's week two. We're done.
Love you.
You're going to be on tomorrow? Tell everybody when
absolutely.
You're on Saturdays.
8 to noon tomorrow morning, myself and Zach Blobner on 95.3 WDAE and AM 620.
All right. Make sure you guys tune into them. Of course, 95.3 WDAE and 620, our partner folks. We provide commentary on Mondays and Fridays for 620. Scott does Monday morning, and I do Monday afternoon. And then on Fridays, I do the morning shift, and Scott does the afternoon shift. I was actually on this morning. They were supposed to do it at 7 o'clock this morning, and Zach texted me last night. Actually, Zach texted me about 4 in the morning. I just went to sleep from working, and he texted me. I was like, what in the world? And he was saying, hey, can we switch it to 8:10? I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, that gives me an extra hour of sleep. Of course, then I was awake for another hour because I was woken up, couldn't get back to sleep. But no one really cares. Listen, we're going to get into the Buccaneers' big win against the Carolina Panthers on Thursday night, a game in which none of us in this room pick the Buccaneers to win, or at least I don't think Lynn did. I know that none of the Pewter Report crew did. We all kind of expected a fairly close game, but they were able to secure the victory, and now they're 1-1 on the season. But before I die, I need to talk about our good friends over at Westshore Financial. They are the title sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast, and they're the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. If you've been a loyal listener to the Pewter Nation podcast, you've heard all about my failed retirement strategies. I've come up with some real doozies to earn money, guys. Well, it's finally time for me to do the right thing and call Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial for my life insurance, my investments, and my retirement strategies. I'm going to just have to break down and do it. Even if you have an insurance or retirement strategy person in your life, call Chris anyways. Go ahead and get a second opinion. It doesn't hurt. And what if you don't have enough life insurance or the right retirement strategy? Chris is an expert. He's a friend. Give him a call for a no-obligation consultation and at least get that second opinion. Protect your family today. Give Chris a call at 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no-obligation, preliminary conversation with Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial, and you will be glad you did. Chris?
Well, I'm going to have to call Chris.
Why did I have to cue him? We talked about this before the podcast started, and you said you were going to do this, and then I have to just...
Should I? I can.
And I said, think of something real quick.
We can talk about it, because you got me into the shirt business.
I did.
And I invested with you, and not only did I put all of my money into Carolina Panthers Super Bowl champions t-shirts...
Yeah.
But I also dumped all my money into designer school to try and go be Cam Newton's fashion designer, but it looks like he's got that all figured out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Cam Newton 2019 MVP t-shirts. I'm going to go ahead and try and call and cancel that order because I don't think he's going to win MVP this year.
Well, at least we haven't gotten those shipped to us yet because we're sitting with a lot of – I'm sitting with a fashion degree and a lot of useless t-shirts that I don't think are going to work out too well.
You might be surprised when you get home. There may be a few truckload at your doorstep.
Oh, God.
I don't know if I can cancel them fast enough. I'm going to try for sure. Lynn, can we interest you in some t-shirts?
No, thank you.
We have plenty. We have Buccaneers 16-0 t-shirts available.
Ah.
We have Bruce Arians for President t-shirts available.
That's not a bad t-shirt.
We have, well, today it is. Last Monday it was not good investment at that point.
Our stock is rising.
And of course, we have the 2019 Super Bowl champion Carolina Panther t-shirts also available.
Pass.
We'll make you a deal on all those.
Pass.
What was your thoughts, man? I mean, talk to me about your thoughts heading into that game. Did the Buccaneers have a chance in your mind?
Speaking of pass, no, I did not. I thought they'd come back 0-2 from Charlotte, and I thought that their first win would come against New York in about 12 days from now. And the short week kills NFL teams from the standpoint of going on the road and trying to win. But in addition to that, you're talking about a team that had the dismal start to their season on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Where they turned the ball over, obviously the two pick sixes that Jameis threw, but also the fact that they also had other turnovers besides that. And defensively, they've been stout the first two games, even on Sunday in the game that they lost and gave up 31 points. Obviously, 14 of those points came on turnovers. But I think they've been really good defensively. I didn't think the defense was going to play as well as they played last night in Charlotte against Carolina, against Cam Newton, and also Christian McCaffrey, a guy who basically can put up 100 yards either receiving or rushing the football or both in the same game.
Sure.
So I was really surprised at how well they played defensively.
The Rams, not the Giants. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
He's gotten plenty of games where he's gotten close to 100 on both sides, either running or catching the football. So, yeah, I was really surprised how well they played defensively, how they actually got after Cam and got after McCaffrey and kept him under 60 yards from scrimmage. So, yeah, I was surprised, but presently surprised. It's a good thing being 1-1 victory Friday, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to make our job a little easier next week. But look, as we got done saying, there's no must wins in week one. There's not even any must wins in week two. This was a pretty damn important game for the Buccaneers to win, number one, for their confidence. But this is a hellacious first 8 weeks of the season. And it doesn't get particularly real easy in the second half, but at least they're going to be playing at home more in the second half of the season. So to lose a game that we all expected them to win against San Francisco and then go and steal a win, essentially, they're really where most people thought they would be at this point, sitting at 1-1 with the Giants coming to town.
Exactly, and I said that kind of last night. This wasn't necessarily the path that you expected. Most expected the Bucs to take to get to 1-1 if they were going to. You thought the 49ers they should beat, and I don't think really anyone realistically thought the Bucs were going to go in and beat the Panthers in Carolina. It's a tough place to play.
Bruce Arians did.
James Winston did. Hey, their job is to think Shaq they can Barrett beat did. Anyone. And it's Tanner our Hudson job to did. Say whether we think they can. And props to them. They believed in it and they did it.
Dirk Cutter thought they would.
Oh.
Probably not.
That's interesting.
A little shot at Dirk Cutter there.
And to stay with the defense, too, obviously it's early. It's only been two games. But this is the type of defense that can keep the Bucs in every single game. It doesn't matter who they're playing. And they're going to have those tough tests coming up with the Rams in 2 weeks and the Saints the week after that. But this is a defense that not only are they going to keep you in games, but they're getting production from not just from one person. Now, mm-hmm. last year, that was kind of the case with Jason Pierre-Paul. This year, going in, I think a general consensus as far as the pass rush goes that, all right, well, Carl Nassib is probably going to be the guy. But we've seen right away that, I mean, Shaq Barrett was dominant out there. But it wasn't – he was the star, Shaq Barrett, mm-hmm. for sure. But they were getting help from Anthony Nelson, had a forced fumble and a pass breakup at the line of scrimmage.
Dominican Sue recovers the fumble.
Yeah, Vernon Hargraves makes the game-saving tackle.
Right.
So
Carlton Davis had one heck of a crappy game.
Yeah, how about Kevin Minter coming in for Devin White? They are getting production from many different players all over the field, and as a head coach, you have to love that.
You know what that tells us? It's a damn good coach football team. It is. It's a good coach football team. When you have guys like a Kevin Minter who didn't even make the final roster under Todd Bowles with the Jets last year, was a free agent when the Buccaneers signed him midway through the season, played a game or two before he got hurt here and put on IR. A guy coming into camp didn't even have a job for sure. I mean, he was in a battle for one of these backup linebacker positions.
Right.
Not only does he make the team, but he comes in, he steps in, and he has an impact. He had an interception last night that was negated because of Carlton Davis, who's my new Jude Ajay Barima. The guy
God,
who
that
could almost
so
cost
bad.
You could almost cost you. He did everything he could in that last drive to help Cam Newton and the
and he
Panthers
got lucky.
Score.
He didn't have a. I mean, they went to the pass interference replay. And, I mean, they were lucky. That ball was a millisecond from getting out of Cam's hand. And the only reason it wasn't a penalty is it was what illegal contact as opposed to pass interference, just because the ball hadn't left his hand, and he really got a break for that.
This early into the season, when you're able to play as well as they play defensively. With a new system, you mentioned it being coaching, but it also means the fact that these guys are buying into the system too. Mm-hmm. They're making the transition from, and whether it's the fact that there's some guys here that weren't here last year, or even the guys that are actually here on this football team that were drafted in 2018 that are a big part of this defense as it is right now, whether it be MJ Stewart. I know you're on a Carlton Davis rant, but he's still your number one corner on this football team. He may have done some things last night that are questionable when it comes to playing good football, but right. still, as a whole, as a team, the way they get, the way they're aggressive and just swamped in a football the way they do. We talked to Todd Bowles earlier in the week before they played the Panthers, and he talked about the fact that it's going to take more than one guy to stop Christian McCaffrey. And you saw that last night. Yeah. There were multiple guys getting to him when he had the football, whether it be catching a football or running a football.
And if you've watched this football team in the past under Monty Kiffin, that's what you always saw. You always saw 11 men to the football. Didn't matter if it was 20 yards away from where the player was. He was going to run in that direction. They were going to be 11 men in pursuit at all times. And that was something you didn't really see last year. You mentioned that they are buying into this. It's a good coach team, and they're buying into the system. But you know what? These players like this system. They enjoy playing in this system. Number one, it suits their strengths, I believe, what they do best. But it's an entertaining, it's a fun defense to be in. And I'm telling you right now, there were guys in this locker room last year who did not like playing under Mike Smith's scheme under his defense. One of them spouted off as soon as he was cut on a podcast, or his wife did, and Brent Grimes, who refused to play certain things because he hated it so much. And we all beat up Brent Grimes, and you know what I mean? That's still not the way a professional should be. But at the same time, he had some valid points. You know, I mean, when he sees something that he knows isn't going to work, it's hard to really get motivated, right? Regardless of the $8 million.
Absolutely. And this just speaks volume to the fact that coaching matters so much in this league. You see it all across the team, from whether that's improved zone blocking on the offensive line to the strides of this. Under Mike Smith, a very similar defense to what they're rolling out right now was on a record-breaking pace for yards given up, for points given up. And now, after week one, they give up 17 points to the 49ers, and I wasn't completely sold in. On the podcast last week, I called a prediction in favor of Carolina 31-17. When we did our previews and predictions, I altered that a little bit. I changed it down to 28-20, but I was not sold on this defense. Going up, I said, if Carolina can jump out to a big lead like they've done against the Bucs in previous years, jump out to a 10-14-point lead, the Bucs commit a turnover or two. They fumble the ball. Jameis throws an interception. With the talent that they have in Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton, it was going to be a long uphill battle. And there, it's been a long time watching this Bucs team that I've said, I'm expecting stops or I'm expecting turnovers. And that's exactly what we saw all night last night.
And I'm not going to say that last night is enough proof for me to say this is a top 10
Agreed.
Defense at the end of the year, because Cam Newton isn't Cam Newton of 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. They dropped some balls.
He missed
that
some
been,
passes,
missed some
especially
guys.
On that last drive. I believe it was Curtis Samuel right over the middle. Yeah. He would have been running for at least another 30 yards. So
let's not also forget Greg Olsen had a big game last
big game.
Night,
yeah.
too.
Big game. But yeah. you know what? Not many tight ends beat you to the point where you lose a football game. If that's the best guy, I mean, if that's the guy that is the most productive guy on the team, you know, you can still win.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
True,
but he definitely inflicted some wounds, right?
Yes,
he created some bleeding,
and he's the number
Cam
one
was not
target
able to capitalize on when they got into the red zone.
He's the number one target downfield in that offense. He should not be getting that wide open.
There were certainly some blown coverages in that game, and it was fortunate for the Buccaneers they weren't able to that Carolina wasn't able to capitalize on those. But so again, I'm not trying to knock this defense at all. And I'm not going to – if they go do the same thing against Eli next week, hold them to, you know, 300 yards, 350
yards.
Yeah,
playing against Saquon Barkley as, you know, another stud running
back. I'm still not going to be completely sold. What's going to sell me is in two games when they go to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. They go up there and they hold that group under 100 yards rushing. They hold that group to 350, you know, 17 points, something like that. I'm going to be a 100% believer. Well, I'm still a believer. It's a better defense. Not even remotely close to last year's garbage. But is this a top 10 defense? Statistically, right now, it's a top 5 defense. Will it be at the end of the year? Let's see what they do up against the Rams.
If they're able to go up to L.A. and do that in L.A., I would be really impressed with how this defense would have come out of that football game, holding that offense down to 300 yards or 350 or even 400 total yards. But the thing about playing a team like the Rams is they're going to expose how good your secondary is.
Sure.
From the standpoint of, okay, you can win that matchup, but will you win the next one and the next one and the next one? Because they have three wide receivers who technically could be called ones on most teams. And because of that, you have to have a one against a one.
Right.
Your number one corner has to play the number one wide receiver. Well, your number two corner has to be good enough to play a number one wide receiver, and so on and so forth. But that's why they're so dangerous.
But there's a blueprint, and Bill Belichick designed it last year in that Super Bowl, holding that team to 3 points. I would have never in my life thought that was going to happen. They just took Jared Goff out of his game completely. And so there is a blueprint out there. And if Todd Bowles has learned anything in the NFL, it's nothing wrong with copycatting, right? I mean, why would you not look at that film? And I'm sure the Panthers tried to do the same thing, and they just weren't able to do it against the Rams in week one. You know, that's going to be the blueprint to try and stop the Rams this year. Now, they've got to make their chess match move, all right? Our teams are starting to counter us and play us the way the Patriots did. Now, what are we going to do that? So it becomes that chess match amongst coordinators. But I'm going to take Todd Bowles all day long in that chess match, only because of the vast amount of experience this guy has. Does he have the horses to do it? I don't know. But scheme-wise, I think he can scheme it up to stop the Rams. It's just a matter of can the players execute the game plan.
And the Patriots secondary played really well in that Super Bowl.
Sure.
And that's going to be important, because when you do send pressure and try and knock Jared Goff off of his game, to your point, Len, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, is Carlton Davis, Vernon Hargreaves, and MJ Stewart going to be able to stand up to those three guys? Because when you're getting after him with pressure, Jared Goff, there's going to be openings in that secondary. And they're going to be put under a lot of pressure, and it's going to be a real measuring stick.
And you're going to have to get home. You're going to have to certainly disrupt Jared Goff, or Ryan Gosling, as Megan says all the time. Look, Lynn, listen, if you're walking down the street and you saw a $100 bill on the ground, what would you do?
Pick it up.
You would pick it up. I figured you would pick it up. Me personally, I would leave it there, because I would afraid it would be a trick, you know, where they have the string on it. Oh. They pull it away, and then I'm on camera, and then I'm on, you know, punked or something. But
I'm okay
anyway,
with that.
You're okay with that? Well, listen, if you're walking down the street and you saw $100, most people would pick it up. Of course, you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them, Len? Exactly. That's my point. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it. When you're betting, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do you want to be with a reputable company who's going to give you the payouts when you deserve it? I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on this football season, whether it's the point spread, the over-under, the money line, or prop bets, make sure to bet with mybookie.ag. Join in now at mybookie, and you know what they're going to do, guys?
They're going to
double your initial deposit. You put $50 in, Len, how much is that?
50, 100.
Math. 100. You put $100 in, how much is that?
100. 200.
You put $200 in, how much is that?
1, 2, 3. 400.
You put $1 million in, it doesn't go that high.
Oh, okay.
But if they did, that would be one heck of a deal.
I was getting ready to go into the bank.
I think there is a limit, but I think it's up to at least $500 where they're going to double it. To get that double, you have to use the promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R. Activate that offer. That's promo code Pewter. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid, fellas.
You know, a lot of gambling people that I know were not happy about. They put the over for rushing yards for Ronald Jones. I believe it was 39.5.
Yeah.
And Ronald Jones did not even come close.
And I actually asked you guys, got a poll from all of you guys yesterday, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, definitely take the over. Take the over. So I told my friend who happens to do some gambling with my bookie to go ahead and take that. And it didn't exactly pan out for him.
We have not been good on our predictions early this year.
Yeah, no.
I think we all picked the 49ers to win, lose. Yeah. We all picked the Panthers to beat the Bucks. Every single person in that text chain told you, take the over on Ronald Jones. And I just think that this coaching staff is going to be unpredictable week to week. We talked about it, about how Bill Belichick and the Patriots run a week-to-week league. They prepare different for every team. And I think that's really what we're going to see this year. It's going to be hard to see who's toting the rock each week, what the defense is doing, and that's a positive sign of good coaching.
It's hard, but it's also not hard because the four of us have been around Bruce enough times to hear him say, hot hand.
Yeah,
and ride the hot hand.
Yes.
But you know what? He didn't really even have the hot hand in the first half. I think he had 25 yards on 10
carries. No, he didn't, but he did in the third quarter.
I don't know if Ronald got banged up. There was one play where he had like a 12-yard gain, and he kind of lipped off a little bit, and we didn't see him back in the game again.
He did. He got banged up a little bit.
And that was, you know, listen, I look at this offense, and there's plenty of issues on this offense right now. It is far from running on all
It's not where they want to be right now.
No, and you know, Peyton Barber, I think, had 89 yards on 23 carries. I mean,
a lot of it came in the second half. And it's kind of what we saw against San Francisco as well, where the Bucs did a great job of running the ball in the second half. And that carried over into the second half of this game.
At times, though. I mean, Peyton Barber would run for 8 yards, and they get stuffed for 3 yards sometimes. And, you know, I still think they need to be more consistent there. I like Peyton Barber. He's a tough, tough runner. But, man, he's got no second gear at all. I mean, he is what he is. And there were some opportunities in that game where I thought he had an opportunity to bounce it outside, but he's a north-south guy.
Yeah.
He's going to put his head down. He's going to try and run you over. He's looking for somebody to run over, and that's all well and good, but I think this offense is still missing that explosive back, and I think they're hoping Ronald Jones is that guy. But look, it panned out. It worked. It was Peyton that got that go-ahead touchdown and put the Bucks in the lead for good when he burst through. I think it was a 12- or 13-yard touchdown, something like that, 16. And you know, so, you know, I'm not going to question Bruce right now, but if we're going to pick on some certain things, the fact that there just isn't a lot of explosiveness, and really, honestly, other than Chris Godwin right now, that's about your explosive guy.
Yeah.
It's not Mike Evans so far this year. O.J. Howard's been non-existent. Rashad Perriman may not.
Stonehands.
I mean, I don't even know. In all seriousness, I'm in practice this week. If I'm Bruce Arians, I'm giving Justin Watson some looks at
that. I was actually going to bring that up, if maybe either Justin Watson or Bobo Wilson should potentially get an opportunity to get a couple cracks at it at the third wide receiver position. But it was funny. I was talking to Taylor before Coach Arians went on his press conference, and I was saying, when you think about the Bucs offense, the first thing that pops into my head is they're a running team, which is crazy to think when you look at this team a year ago where they pretty much led the league in passing yards. They were top five in most passing statistics. And now all of a sudden, they're running it left and right. And Coach Arians did say that, we're a run team first. But as far as the lack of explosiveness, it's almost interesting that they're just getting, I shouldn't say interesting, but they're getting nothing from O.J. Howard. And it's almost like when, you know, there's some study or whatever that says, like, you only use 10% of your brain or something like that. That's kind of like what the Bucks offense.
Lynn uses much less.
Yeah, that's kind of like what's going on with the Bucks offense. It's like you have all this firepower, but you're only using 10% of it, which is Chris Godwin.
Right, and I think part of that goes back to Byron Leftwich. I think he is still getting his footing as a play caller in this league. I don't even count Arizona last year. That to me is like there was some preseason games, really. I think he's still trying to figure out what works best, what the best matchups are. I think he's still trying to determine, you know, what he trusts Jameis Winston with. And I'll be honest with you, I thought when they ended up with that safety and on that particular drive, they were backed up. When the Panthers were backed up inside their 10-yard line, which they were at least twice last night, first play, first down, Cam Newton's throwing the football. And both times he got first downs. Got out of that hole immediately before it turned into a disaster like it turned in for the Bucks.
boy, it speaks volumes to me that Byron Leftwich is not trusting his fifth-year quarterback in those situations.
Oh, no, he threw one first down.
And that was a great
pass. Wait.
Yeah.
Out of his own end zone.
Prior to that safety, went down the right they threw one first down.
All right, maybe it was another one. Yeah. And I will say, 10-yard line where they ran it first and second down, then Jameis threw kind of a crappy pass to Mike Evans on an out that was incomplete, and they ended up punting the ball. They went three and out at one point. But maybe that's the drive that I'm thinking of.
And
but,
say what you want about Jameis Winston, he made some phenomenal passes last night. Two of them that I can remember were caught was the 41-yarder to Mike Evans and then the touchdown to Chris Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
But then two of them weren't able to bring in that pass to Rashad Perryman in the end zone. Was a beautiful pass.
Yeah.
And that one out of his own end zone that Len and I were speaking of, down the right sideline, stands in the pocket while getting hit. Chris Godwin wasn't
able
to
keep it in
bounds.
But he wasn't able to stay in bounds.
And
yeah,
that was
you're
a great
right.
Throw
you're
as
right.
Well.
Now, that that's true. That's true. Maybe I'll take back a little bit what I say, but there was one drive where I felt like he didn't trust Jameis Winston. And you know, look, I understand what you're trying to do. I thought the safety was just. I called it before it happened. This is just, and I was afraid that momentum from that safety was going to what the Panthers needed to catapult themselves into success. Thank goodness the defense saved them. I think they stopped the Panthers after they had to kick off after the and they got good field position after that return on the safety kick. But the defense stood tall again and made some stops. And you know, again, You can't say enough about Todd Bowles' scheme, the way he's schemed up to stop Christian McCaffrey. I don't think, and I think Bruce said it in his press conference today, Cam Newton isn't the same guy he was a few years ago. He's taken a lot of hits. He's not going to be that running threat that he was a few years ago, and it is number 22 is that guy. And I think they went about it completely right. We're going to take Christian McCaffrey out of this game, and if Cam Newton beats us, he beats us.
Listen, there is nothing that happened last night from the Panthers side that says that's going to change next week. They are what they are.
Right.
Cam Newton is what he is. He's going to throw passes that are going to maybe go as far as 35, 40 yards, and they're not going to look pretty.
Right.
And because of that, the blueprint last night was made by the Buccaneers and Bowles' defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you guys like declarations. Let's declare it right now. The worst team in the NFC South is not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
As long as Cam's not healthy and he looks like he looked last night and you can stop them defensively like Bowles did, they are the worst team in the NFC South. And that offense, as much as McCaffrey can do for you, they are going to be limited, and teams are going to do exactly what Bowles did and going to gang tackle and go after that guy and spend the focus on him as opposed to focusing on Cam, which has been the way they stopped them 4 or 5 years ago when he was having an MVP type of year.
Right. Do you guys think Jameis Winston took a step forward? Do you think he did what he was supposed to do? It certainly was an improvement from the first week, but I think it was like 203 yards passing, something like that.
I think 208, one touchdown.
I mean,
16 for 25, 100.4
QB rating wasn't great. But I still wonder I still just believe Byron Leftwich is still trying to figure out what he has with Jameis Winston. You know, I still think this team is going to have to throw the ball more. They're going to have to get more production, certainly from Mike Evans. They're going to have to get more production from their number three wide receiver. And look, you've got Cam Brate and O.J. Howard last night that combined for how many catches? Two total, both of them were to Cam. And the amount of money you're paying for those tight ends to be essentially extra blockers if they're only getting two catches is kind of crazy in my opinion, because we all thought that Bruce Arians would really utilize this two pass-catching, pass-receiving type tight ends, and so far it just hasn't come to fruition.
The two biggest things O.J. Howard did last night was a lead block on Peyton Barber's 16-yard touchdown and not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest things he did. He didn't have a single catch, had one lead block, and didn't cost him. And that's a first-round tight end. And in a Week 2 matchup, that's really rough.
Again, maybe the defensive coordinator for the Panthers did what the Buccaneers did to Christian McCaffrey. Maybe they're like, okay, you know, we're going to stop O.J. Howard. I don't think teams yet are to the point where they're saying, okay, that's the guy we have to stop. Because, again, I love tight ends. I love what they can do. And you certainly got the guys like Gronkowski and the Jimmy Grahams that were difference makers. But those are rare guys that can – the tight end that can be the reason you win a football game, in other words. I think it comes from other positions and a collection of things. Again, George Kittle, as great as he was last year, 49ers won three games. You know what I mean? And the Buccaneers could have easily beat him. He had 54, 58 yards receiving, something like that. You know, he did not beat the Buccaneers. That's not why they lost that football game last week against the 49ers. So, anyway, but they need more product from O.J. Because, see, what happens if O.J. is effective, then guess who else is more effective?
Everyone.
Mike Evans. Maybe even Breshad Perriman. Maybe he gets a couple catches.
Well, here's the thing about O.J. not having any catches last night. And certainly we can blame the lack of production on his part. But what you also have to do, too, is get a little bit of credit on the Carolina side. Because the guy that mans the field, or that part of the field that O.J. runs his patterns is Luke Kuechly. So
I tell you what, that pass that he almost intercepted, that is why Luke Kuechly is as good as he is. Because 99% of the linebackers don't get
so far
that
down
depth.
The field.
That deep. They just don't. Exactly. We saw it with Kevin Minter giving up that pass to Greg Olsen. They just don't have that awareness to go that deep. And that comes from study. And it comes from athleticism, too. But it comes from knowing what a team is trying to do and just experience.
He was square, Mark.
He was square
to the quarterback. It wasn't like he was chasing the play. He just dropped the football. But I mentioned Kuechly because that's the guy that's around the area that OJ and Cam actually, you know, ran their routes yesterday. So,
and even if Cam and even if Luke isn't particularly on those guys, he's making those calls, those pre-snap calls, and telling his defense where to be and what to do when he sees, you know, when he sees OJ in a position where it looks like he's going to be a receiver.
And at that set point, maybe you give Jameis some credit from the standpoint of focusing on the wideouts as opposed to throwing the football in the middle of the
field.
Trying
to force it,
Kuechly.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. Again, let's we're going to be critical of certain things. Jameis missed some passes underneath. Look, I thought the one when the Buccaneers had an opportunity to make it a 2-score game before Matt Gay missed the field goal. But to get that touchdown, that puts that game out of reach, essentially, particularly with the way that the Buccaneers defense was playing. It doesn't even come down to that fourth quarter drive. I thought that was a terrible pass to Mike Evans there. It was third and five.
He had no shot.
You know, I mean, you know what? You were right. He didn't put the ball in a position where Mike has a shot. Now, I like the matchup because he's one-on-one and you're a 6'5 guy, and that's the guy you go to. And we've seen him go up and make catches one-on-one in those situations. But to me, again, we saw a couple other opportunities on third down where he went kind of long when he didn't need to, when there were guys open underneath. He's still not loving that check down. He did it a couple times last night, but there were a couple opportunities to keep drives moving. If there was one where it was actually O.J. Howard who was wide open on a play. Another one, I think it was maybe even Dare that was in the game, or maybe it was Peyton. I don't know, which would have been an easy first down just to keep the chains moving. I think just situational awareness, knowing where you are in the game, if we score a touchdown here, or even if we can get a first down and milk another 3 minutes off the clock. I mean, all those things are important things. And, you know, Jameis got a little greedy on that throw, and I tweeted out that that was his worst throw of the game. I mean, not from from an accuracy standpoint, but I thought also from a decision-making standpoint.
Well, we can talk about coaching, too, but that's part of what happens during the week, too.
Yeah.
From a standpoint of you're inside that quarterback room and you're inside that coaching area with Byron Leftwich, and that's a point of him pointing it out to Jameis and going straight there, what you mentioned, and listen – we may want to get this
right
based off of the situation of the game. Play situational football.
Right.
This is what we need. This is all what we need right here.
You know, one thing that worried me just a little bit about Jameis, it was after the game, he was speaking on the NFL Network panel with like Michael Irvin and Steve Smith or whatever. And they're asking him a couple questions. And one of his responses, and I'm paraphrasing here, he was like, yeah, I managed the game. I managed the game.
Yeah,
and we ended
I remember
up having
that. I thought
win.
The same thing.
And I don't like hearing any quarterback say that I manage the game or I'm a game manager, because I just feel like that's something that might kind of get in Jameis's head after all the interceptions that he's thrown. And that's always been the big story with him as far as if he can overcome all these turnovers. That worries me a little bit, hearing him say that I manage the game.
Well, the narrative that's been coming out the last, I guess, 12 hours since the game has been over, or longer than that, is, well, Jameis, you know, had a solid game and he was able to take care of the football. I don't like the narrative because Jameis played like this last year, the end of the season. He'd had games like this. This isn't some revelation that he had since they took the flight to Charlotte and all of a sudden had a great game where he took care of the football, didn't have any interceptions. He's done that before. He's had those type of games.
But they didn't win many of those, though.
Granted,
you look at that,
granted,
didn't win many of those.
But again, he had those games last year where he didn't turn the football over, and he took care of the football, and he was productive, and his completion ratio was up. So last night, when it came to his play, was not a surprise to me. He's done it before.
Yeah, no, he's been in that situation. You're right.
It's a matter of building on it now. It's a matter of building on it now.
Right, right. And, you know, there's always things that he can improve on, just like this podcast. It could be a lot better.
It could. Certainly, especially and one thing that worries me a little bit about Jameis is his hesitancy and almost his refusal to scramble. And we saw it in the preseason game against
Pittsburgh. You mean take off and run. Because he scrambles fine. I mean, he's moving around in the pocket, avoiding the rush. But we talked about that, and Scott's talked about it. I think that's something that Bruce has instilled in it, that he wants him to look to make the throw instead of use his legs. I'm not a big fan of that. And I think last night was an opportunity when I was pointing out that throw to Mike Evans. You know, I think Bruce Arians is like, yeah, that's a favorable matchup. Take that shot. Whereas me, I would be more conservative. Hey, let's get the first down and then see what we can do later on. Because, again, that ball could have been intercepted or it was incomplete. It was not a high percentage throw, in other words. It was essentially a almost a fade, you know, from where they were at that point. It's just not a high percentage play to me. I would have rather him taking the first down. But I think part of that is the Bruce Arians no risk it, no biscuit mentality, too, to a degree. And sometimes that's going to bite you in the butt when you do that.
And Trevor's tweeted about it a little bit. And
who's Trevor?
Sorry. He's suspended from the podcast today. Mm-hmm. We didn't mention that. But Trevor's tweeted about it a little bit. I spoke with Jenna and Scott, Jenna Lane, ESPN, shout out, and Scott last week after the game. And you saw it after the Pittsburgh game when all of us were really impressed when Jameis Winston escaped the pocket, pump faked and didn't make a throw across his body downfield that we've seen him make before, escape and run for a first down. And after the game, when asked about it, Bruce Arians said, no, we want him to keep his eyes downfield.
Yeah.
And you like to see him avoid making kind of the boneheaded throws we've seen him make in the past. And we like to see him take sacks as opposed to make a decision that might cost the team. But sometimes Bruce Arians has preached, don't change a guy and let him be who he is. Well, sometimes Jameis Winston, while not being the most fleet of foot, is at his best when he's getting out of the pocket, looking for someone, or even running for that first down.
Speaking of fleet of foot, I'm going to be fleet of foot later today, and I'm probably going to go to Ford's Garage for a burger and a beer tonight. It's Friday. I don't want to cook. I want somebody to cook for me. So I think I'm going to hit Ford's Garage because they have a tremendous selection of burgers, but an even better selection of alcohol. Now, I don't need the alcohol because, like I did last Sunday after the Buccaneers lost to the 49ers, I need the alcohol to celebrate. I don't cheerlead for this team, but it sure does make our job a hell of a lot easier when this football team wins. Ford's Garage is a great place to actually go and watch the Buccaneers this season. If you don't go to the stadium or if it's a road game, they've got TVs galore. They'll have it on the Buccaneer game. They got great food and drink specials. They have all-day happy hours or like from 11 to 7. It's not a typical just a couple-hour happy hour. They have premium Wells drinks at discounted prices during that happy hour. But right now, guys, I don't know if you've seen the ads on PewterReport.com. Their margarita selection. They have an entire menu right now. And this is margarita season to me. Hurricane's bearing down on us. We're probably all going to die soon. Maybe not. But if we are, let's go out with some tequila in my belly. That's kind of been my motto for the first 48 years. Unfortunately, no hurricane has killed me yet. And ended up getting overindulged with the tequila. But I will say it's been well worth it. But Ford's Garage is a great place to go. Don't overindulge here. Have your limit. Know your limits. Call an Uber if you have to. Or call Grizz. He'll give you a ride for the right amount of money. And he'll also give you a check of your undercarriage. Everything's got a price. Ford's Garage, multiple locations throughout the state of Florida. They're going to open up a new location at Daytona Beach, a new location down in the Bradenton area. They've got multiple locations in the Bay Area, including one all the way up in Dearborn, Michigan, and all the way down south as far as Estero, Florida. Check them out, Ford's Garage. You can go online to check out their drink specials, their food specials, their limited menu items, their great nachos. You can see it all at FordsGarageUSA.com. Anything else, guys? That pretty much kind of wraps it up. What else do we need to talk about?
Shout out Gerald McCoy for getting that penalty that extended the Bucs drive.
Ryan Jensen is so good. I told her in that point in that game, I said, that's the most angry I've ever seen Gerald McCoy, and I've covered this guy for, 9 years or however long it's been. Never seen him really lose his cool like that. And part of that was from some frustration. I think he thought that he was going to whip Kappa all night, and he did get the best of Alex a couple times. He had a couple tackles for loss, affected the play in the backfield, which led to some tackles for loss, but he didn't really come close to any sacks against Jameis last night.
No, not at all.
And I think he really thought that he was going to be able to. And I like Gerald McCoy. Scott likes Gerald McCoy, contrary to popular belief. We all like Gerald McCoy personally as a person, but I did not disagree with the Buccaneers making the choice to let him go and bringing in Ndamukong Suh. And while Ndamukong Suh hasn't made particularly any splash plays, I think his presence up front has made it more difficult for this football team to be run on, something we saw them get gouged at times last year, really for the last several years, but particularly under Mike Smith's defense, where they just weren't very strong up front. Now, part of that's Vita Vea, certainly, as well, who I think had a hell of a game. Again, guys, Vita Vea is not going to be a 10-sack guy. He's not even going to be probably a 6- or 7-sack guy. The things that he does don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. You may look at that stat sheet and see 2 tackles, 1 assist. That doesn't mean he had a bad game. He can certainly affect the game, and I think he did that to a degree last night, just collapsing that pocket, and that'll help other guys get to the quarterback
as well.
That's
exactly what I was thinking, is you have Shaq Barrett coming from the outside. You have Shaq Barrett coming from the outside, and then the quarterback can't even step up because you got Vita and Ndamukong Suh right there.
The guy swallows up blockers. He does.
Yep.
He makes you.
And Ndamukong does as well.
Yes.
I mean, both those
guys make you send 2 guys to block them. And if you do that, somebody's going to get free.
Somebody's going to have a one-on-one at the very least. Yep.
Yes.
And then when you have guys blitzing off the edge, like we saw last night in Todd Bowles' defense, somebody's going to get home. Now, again, look, we're not drinking the Kool-Aid, or I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a top 10 defense yet. But, man, am I impressed with what they've been able to do through 2 games. And, it was crazy. It was into the second year of Mike Smith's defense when guys were still saying there was communication issues. Are you kidding me? This defense is so much more complex. So, you know what? These players aren't nearly as dumb as maybe we thought they were a couple of years ago. And I didn't really think they were dumb. But I was like, well, how in the hell can you have communication issues when you've been in the defense for 2 years? And they were still complaining about it. And this complex defense, there's not really any. There's going to be guys out of position from time to time, and there's going to be mistakes made. But there hasn't really been any glaring errors on this football team. And that's coming from good communication. And that's coming from a rookie linebacker who's making these calls and then having a backup guy come in and do the same thing last night.
Besides that is when it comes to Week 3 against the Giants, don't change a thing. Because the situation is the same. You have a quarterback. Certainly not as mobile as Cam is, but you have Eli Manning, who's going to be back there taking the snaps here at Raymond James Stadium on a couple of Sundays from now. And he's a guy that doesn't throw the football down the field well. And from a running back standpoint, you have Saquon Barkley, right, who does the same things that McCaffrey does. So, again, your focus has to be 26, Saquon. And if Eli ends up beating you, that's on you.
Yeah, that's on you.
If Eli ends up beating you, that's on you. But your focus should be Saquon like it was last night when it comes to Christian McCaffrey.
If you see Eli beating you a week from Sunday, you need to shoot off a flare gun.
Where would you get one?
Because you need to be rescued. T.A. Mahoney's.
Oh, of course. We've said it so many times.
Largest selection. And you know what I found out? I did some research. Largest selection of flare guns in our solar system. Not just the Western Hemisphere. Not just in Florida. Not just in Tampa. But in the entire solar system. Now, I haven't explored other solar systems yet. But as far as I've figured out by now, they have the largest selection of flare guns in our solar system. That's pretty impressive, guys.
See, I heard Venus was making a push.
They're still in our solar system.
Yeah, I heard they were making a push, but
I think
T.A. Mahoney's edged them out.
Yeah.
A late push here in the fall season pushed them out.
The little Vini guys are trying to develop more flare guns, but they're not going to ever overtake T.A. Mahoney's. Besides flare guns, T.A. Mahoney's has everything you might need in the marine world, from something as simple as a small little pack of hooks all the way up to getting electronics installed on your boat, getting your trailer repaired. If you want to repair your boat itself, they've got the fiberglass, they've got the cloth, they've got the resin, they've got everything you need. They have boat anchors, they have boat radios, they have flare guns, they have the flags when you're diving that you have to have. They have all the safety equipment, sound making devices. They have life vests, life jackets. They've got clothing. They've got sunglasses. They've got rods. They've got reels. And you know what else they got? They got me as a customer. So what more could they want? But what more could you want? T.A. Mahoney's, any of your marine needs, make sure to check them out. They've been in business since as long as Lynn has been alive, since 1948. Same year you were born?
That's not nice.
No, it's not nice. No, is it true, though?
It's not true.
It's not true. What year were you born? I can't.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know if you're 50 or 26. I can't tell.
It's anywhere. Somewhere in between there.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we're going to say 41 and just go with that. I don't know. Am I hot or cold? If I'm on the Price is Right, did I overbid or underbid at 41?
You're under.
I'm under. Yeah. Wow, you are an old man. Okay, 49 it is. Lynn Martez, buddy, we appreciate you joining us, man. You guys do great work at 620 at 95.3 WDAE. Our partners for all of the Bucks coverage year-round. Scott and I are on Mondays and Fridays. Trevor does a show on Wednesday mornings where he's in studio with T-Kraz and Ronnie. And he's also part of the Insiders, which is played on Sunday mornings. What do they do this week? Are they going to do one for this Sunday morning? Are they taping? I guess they're not taping one today because Trevor's in Charlotte. Did they do one? Did
they
play?
They are doing one today.
They are?
Yes, they are.
Well, who's filling in for Trevor?
I have no idea.
Oh, boy, probably should have. I hope it wasn't supposed to be me.
That's a good question.
And we know it's not Scott because he's in Charlotte, too.
Who's the old guy now forgetting stuff? Were you supposed to be there?
Oh.
Well, maybe. Who are you again? Where am I?
Where am I?
For Matthew underscore Matera, for the Grizz, and for our good friend Len Martez, filling in for Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook. Sam, we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out. Out.
72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com.